So I'd like to thank all of you very much for being so kind and welcoming us here. So for the next six classes, three in the morning and three in the evening, we'll say something about a subject we've titled A Culture of Respect. The word culture in this title has two meanings. It's a verb, because if you want to have a society, then you have to cultivate, you have to culture respect. And the other meaning is that any society, any culture is based upon respect. So respect, if we consider it, is the glue that holds all societies together. And every society has some form of respect. And according to how deep that conception of respect is, how philosophical it is, we consider that to be an elevated society. So respect is a very important thing for the members of our ISKCON movement, because if we don't have respect for the different members in our society, for the leaders in our society, for the sannyasis and the preachers and the Brahmins, for the ladies, for parents, for teachers, if we don't have respect for the people that we're preaching to, that we're trying to sell books to and trying to cultivate, our society can't go on. So we chose to sing this song this morning, Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's third verse of Shikshashtaka, Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororeva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Kabraj Goswami, in Adilila chapter 17, he describes the importance of this Trinadapi Sunichena verse. He says,
Udvabahu kore kahon suna sarva lok namasutre ganti para kanti he shlok.
He says this verse is most important, and we should put this verse on a string and keep it around our neck at all times. So this Trinadapi Sunichena verse is a basis of all of our dealings, not just with devotees, but with everyone. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually has compiled two songs about this verse. Today we're saying something about Trinadapi, this Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya. He gives some indication that if we want to cultivate humility, if we want to understand how to respect others, it's required that we have some mercy from Sadhu Guru, from that exalted personality. Gurudev Kripa Bindu Diya, Koro E Dase. He prays to him that you please give me a drop of your mercy. That's all that's required. If I have just a drop of your mercy, then everything will be sufficient. And he prays that Koro E Dase. He's not saying that you please accept me as your servant. He's saying Koro E Dase. The word Koro is significant. He's saying you make me. I'm not a proper servant of yours. Chunapeksha Atihina, you make me what? You make me that I can be so humble. Because by nature we're so very puffed up and proud. And this is a very, very important part of our spiritual development. If we don't understand our own fallen position, if we don't have some humility about us, where is the question of making any progress? Any teacher can tell you that it's not possible to instruct a student who knows everything or thinks that they know everything. So similarly, if we think that we're situated properly, that we think that we're very advanced, how can we make any advancement? So tinapeksha atihina, you please make me humbler than a blade of grass. And sakala sahani baladiyakoro nijamani spriyahina. You give me the strength to tolerate. In this world, it's a very, very difficult thing to tolerate. When someone comes and says some harsh words to us, the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam says that such language is like a sharp sword pierced into the heart. Now, who can tolerate such things? But if we want to advance in our spiritual life, we have to do that. So he's praying that you please give me the strength to bear all these trials and tribulations and free me from any desire for personal honor. And he says, Sakale samana korite sakati deho nata jata jata. This is the most important thing. If we say that we should be amani namana dana, that we should offer all respect to others, what does it mean? Does it mean, sometimes we say that you go to the zoo and you climb into the cage with the tiger and you go and give him a big hug and tell him, Brother Tiger, I love you. That's not proper respect. We have to give deho nata jata jata according to each particular person. So this is culture, that we know who to respect and according to how much respect we should give them and what way we should offer that thing. So he's praying that you please give me the potency, the shakti, to be able to do that. That indicates to us also that it's not just a matter of education. Sometimes people, they say, oh, I'll go to school and I'll learn all about etiquette. I'll learn about how to treat people. But it's something that requires some special potency. And he says that if we have this thing, then tabi to gaibo harinama suke, then I'll be able to chant the holy name very happily. So if we're not able to chant the holy name very happily, it's because we're not offering proper respect to everyone. If we offer proper respect to each person according to their situation, then tabi to gaibo harinama suke, we'll be able to chant very, very happily. And aparada habihata. This is because our offenses will go away. If we don't offer proper respect to different persons, then naturally offenses will come very easily. So, and he goes on and says so many things, but these particular points in the first two stanzas, I think are very important for this subject matter in front of us. If we analyze, as we stated in the beginning, we can see that every society in the world has some sort of system of respect. The Western culture, or so-called culture, also has some system of respect. It's based upon our self-identification. Because people in the West, they're identifying aham mameti. They're identifying with this material body. Then their respect is based upon that material body. In terms of Sanskrit language, they offer respect based on artha and kama. If someone has lots of money, if someone has good sex life, then we offer so much respect to that person. Just like in America, there's a place near New York called Harlem, which is a very famous slum. It's a very low-class place. There's a group of people, they call them the Harlem Globetrotters. And they're not so educated, they're not coming from high-class family. But now they're very famous and people worship them all over the world because they've managed to get some money and some fame because they're playing basketball, because they have good, strong bodies. So people offer respect to them based on that system. So according to how we identify ourselves, we'll have a corresponding system of respect. And according to that system of respect, society will go in a particular direction. Because everyone wants some respect. People become offended if we don't offer them respect. We become disturbed and unhappy if we go someplace and no one respects us, no one appreciates us. So people naturally want this respect, and they see that, oh, the way to get it is if I get money and if I get some beautiful body, because everywhere we look, the billboards are glorifying people with beautiful bodies and scantily clad women, and they're glorifying people who have lots of money. So these are the values of such a materialistic society, and this is a direction that everyone's going in. Srila Prabhupada comments on this subject matter in a number of places. I can read a few statements from him in this regard. He says, a civilization in which the people do not know how the representatives of Narada and Krishna should be respected, how should society should be formed, and how one should advance in Krishna consciousness. A society concerned only with manufacturing new cars and new skyscrapers every year and then breaking them to pieces and making new ones may be technologically advanced, but it is not a human civilization. A human civilization is advanced when its people follow the Chaturvarnam system, the system of four orders of life. There must be ideal first-class men to act as advisors, second-class men to act as administrators, third-class men to produce food and protect cows, and fourth-class men who obey the three higher classes of society. One who does not follow the standard system of society should be considered a fifth-class man. That was from Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam 6.7.13. Similarly, Prabhupada said in a morning walk conversation in Vrindavan, March of 1974, he said, they are thinking advancement of civilization. Advancement of civilization means, quote, exploit others and you become happy. This is advancement of civilization. Others may die for such out of starvation. And one man takes some money and spends it for wine and women and motor car. That's all. That's advancement of civilization. So there is some system of respect in Western culture. And people think themselves sometimes, especially England is a very famous place. People are proud here that England is a very cultured place. Because people here, they're gentlemen and gentlewomen. They're gentle, meaning that they can offer proper respect to other persons. And they're not harsh in their behavior. But what is the nature of materialistic respect? If our conception of ourself is limited to this physical material body, and our conception of other people is similarly limited, then we may offer some respect, but ultimately that respect is selfishly motivated. It's being offered for the purpose that you'll respect me, or that you'll give me money, or you'll give me some vote, or this or that, you'll come to me. And so we see the people in the marketplace, the merchant men, they're very respectful when you come to their shop. The politicians are very, very respectful because they want your money, they want your vote. But in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes such respect as respect of the scorpion. He says, at once there was a scorpion who was sitting beside a river. And the scorpion had a desire to cross over the river. So he was waiting. He couldn't swim across. The water was deep and he would drown. So after a little while came a camel. This camel wasn't so bright. And the scorpion asked him, he said, my dear brother camel, would you please do me a favor and let me ride on your back and carry me across this river? And the camel told him, he said, what, do I look stupid or something? If I carry you on my back, then you'll sting me. And that scorpion told him, no, I'm an ethical scorpion. I have some culture. I'm not like that. So the camel, who wasn't so bright, he agreed with that. And he put the scorpion on his back. And they started going across the river. And halfway across the river, do you know what happened? Can you guess? The scorpion stung him. Very good. And the camel, he said, what did you do that for? He said, now we're both going to die. And the scorpion told him, what can I do? I can't change my nature. So the respect that's sometimes offered in materialistic society by business people or by politicians or by sycophants who want some position in a job or something, that type of respect is selfishly motivated. And as soon as their motivation is obtained, then there's no reason to be respectful anymore. And it means they can throw away that thin veneer of culture and respect that they're hiding their real nature under. So we don't consider that to be a genuinely progressive society. And we see that's why society today is degrading more and more, because the value system is based on this selfish definition of ourself. So higher than that, better than that, is a Vedic system, the system of Varna and Ashram, which Srila Prabhupada said something about, we just read. And that system is based on four types of respect. There's respect offered to the Brahmins because of their knowledge. If someone is a Brahmin, but they're not doing yajan yajan, patan patan, dhanapati graha, if they're not practicing yajna, if they're not teaching other people yajna, if they're not teaching other people Shastra and studying Shastra themselves, if they're not qualified to give, they're not giving charity and accepting charity properly, that person's not a Brahmin. He's a Brahmabandhu. He doesn't have proper knowledge. So we may offer some respect to a Brahmabandhu because of his birth. That's a very nice thing. But really, we want to respect someone, yashayal lakshanam proktam, pumsavana vivanjakam, as Yudhishthira Maharaj describes in the seventh canto of the Bhagavatam, according to their lakshana, according to the qualities that they have. And the Brahmins we respect according to their quality of knowledge. And the Kshatriyas, we offer respect to the Kshatriyas based upon their physical strength. And physical strength meaning also their ability to guide and lead other people, their strength in that regard. And the Vaishyas, we offer respect to the Vaishyas based upon their wealth or based upon how much grains they have. And the Sudras, we offer respect to based upon their age. It's described in Vishnu Smriti. Vipranam janato jaischam katriyanam tu viryataha vaishyaganam dhanyadhanata sudranam eva janmataha. Seniority of Brahmins is based upon sacred knowledge. Not just any kind of knowledge, but sacred knowledge. Seniority amongst the Kshatriyas is determined by their heroic deeds. Seniority amongst the Vaishyas is based on their accumulation of grains and wealth. And amongst the Sudras is determined by birth. But if we consider in Vedic culture, age is not the most important thing. Vishnu Smriti says, Brahmanam dasavarsham cha sattavarsham cha bhumipam pita putro vijinayad brahmanas tu tayo pita. If you have a 10-year-old Brahmin and a 100-year-old king as father and son, he said, of these two, you should understand the Brahmin is the actual real father. He's really the senior person. So in Vanashram system, these are the values. Knowledge is valued. And proper administration is valued. Wealth is valued less, and less than that is valued age. But it's also valued. And they offer respect. If someone's an elderly person, we should offer respect to them. No matter what caste they are, no matter what their situation is, we should be respectful. And if someone has wealth, we should be respectful of that. If someone is a good administrator, we should be more respectful than that. But mostly we should be respectful of sacred knowledge. So if these are the values in a society, then the society will go in that direction. People will become more elevated in society if they become knowledgeable in sacred understandings. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives a different system, slightly different, in his Chaitanya Sikshamrita. This system of Vanashram is still lokik. It's something which is mundane. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he rejected that. Krishna rejects that in the Gita. He says, it's sarva dharmam pratyagya, mamekam sharanam braja. He doesn't say that sarva papa pratyagya, you give up all types of pop. He says you give up all types of dharma, including Vanashram dharma. And your only real dharma would be to surrender to me. So that surrender to Krishna, that's also a type of Vanashram, but that's Daivi Vanashram. There's a difference between this lokik or mundane Vanashram or Asura Vanashram and Daivi Vanashram. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Chaitanya Sikshamrita, he gives eight different reasons that we should offer respect. The first is Nara Matrara Maryada. We should offer respect to anyone who's a human being. Any cultured person will do this. That human being might even be a cannibal. Would you be respectful to a cannibal? No. But he's a human being. Once Srila Prabhupada, when he was in Bhubaneswar in 1977, the devotees took him for a morning walk for a japa to Nandankanan Zoo. And there at the zoo, Prabhupada was walking and he noticed one of his disciples had taken a stick and was harassing the lion in the cage. And Prabhupada stopped and he turned and admonished that disciple and told him, don't do that. He said, you should be respectful. After all, he's a lion. So if we can respect a beast, even, then what to speak of a human being? Because out of 8,400,000 species of life, this human species of human form of life is very, very rare. There's only 400,000 species of human life. And it's a very, very rare thing for someone to take birth as a human being. It's a very exalted thing. We should respect that. But it doesn't mean that we're going to associate with them intimately. We have to understand what is the proper type of respect. So Naramatramaryada, we offer respect to anyone who's a human being, but more respect we offer to Sabhyataramaryada, to someone who's a civilized person. Maybe we may be respectful to some cannibals in Africa, but we're more respectful to some cultured people in England, or in France, or some, they have some civilization. We should offer more respect to that. But more respect than the Sabhyataramaryada, we offer to Rajamaryada, to someone who is a king or someone who is a politician. If we don't offer that type of respect, then how will society go on? How will society be able to function if the people in the society have no respect for their kings, for their leaders? So the devotees, they offer respect like that, not because they see that person as very, very exalted, but because they know that if I don't do this, society won't function properly. And part of this offering of respect to leading persons means offering respect to the demigods. That's also a very important thing. Thakur Bhaktivinoda describes that in another place in Chaitanya Sikshamrita. He says a devotee should not disrespect the devatas. There are two types of devatas, incarnations of the Lord and jivas with special qualification. None of the Lord's servants should be disrespected. Those souls who, by the mercy of the Lord, have attained positions to control and protect the world are considered to be devata and are to be worshipped by all. We read in Mahabharata, the Panchapandavas, they were worshipping Durga Devi. They were worshipping Shivji. For this reason, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining. The Vaishnavas should not out of envy disrespect them. Giving them proper respect, the Vaishnav may pray to them for the boon of devotion to Krishna. The Vaishnav should not disrespect any living entity. Respect should be given to all the forms of the devatas which are being worshipped in various places. For by worshipping these forms, the people on a lower level of consciousness learn the preliminaries to devotional service. This is a preliminary to devotional service. We should teach people to be respectful to the demigods. We should teach them to be respectful to politicians, to the police. Because if a person can't offer them respect, if he can't offer respect to everyone, how can he come to the point of offering respect to the Vaishnavas, to the Brahmins, to Krishna? So the devotees understand this is not a primary consideration, this is a secondary consideration, but they offer respect like this to teach people. And partly for this reason, the Pandavas were worshipping some of the devatas, to show people they should be respectful. Bhaktivinoda goes on. He says, by disrespecting them, the devotee's pride will grow and humility decrease. In this way, the heart will no longer be a suitable dwelling place for devotion. For those devotees who may have visited Singapore or Bali, you may know that for many, many years, ISKCON was against the law in those places. We had no position there. But it's a very curious thing because if you were to go there, you see there's so many different Hindus. There are people who are worshipping as Radha Krishna temples there and so many different temples of Ganesh and Shivji and other devatas. So what happened? The first devotees who went there, they were very enthusiastic preachers, and they came and they saw that all these Hindus, they were worshipping all these bogus demigods. And they told him, don't do this. You shouldn't worship Shivji. He's not supreme. And you shouldn't worship Durga. And don't worship Kali. And don't worship this and that. You should only worship Krishna. And those Hindus who were there became offended by that. Who the heck do you think you are? And then later on, when the devotees went to get some legal standing, they found that in those places there's only four legal religions according to the government. And that's the Hindus, the Christians, Buddhists, and Islam. And there's a conference of each one of those groups, and you have to be recognized by that conference. Otherwise, you can't register your religious society. So then we had to go to the Hindus, and we said, oh, could you please put in a good word for us? And they said, get lost. So what was the value of their preaching? We should offer respect to the devatas. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he prays to Lord Shiva. Vrindavanavanipate jayasoma soma mole sanandana sanatana nadadeja gopishvara braja bilasi yugangri padme prema prayacha nirupari namo namaste. Vrindavanavanipate jayasoma soma. Oh, you who are the gatekeeper to Vrindavan, and you have the moon on your head, and you're with Uma. You're being worshipped by Sanatan, Narad Muni, and the other rishis. You please give me Krishna Prem and give me a place in Brajadam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur similarly has composed a verse. O he Ketrapala Shiva, Tumi Doya Moya, Krishna Bhakti Deha More, Hai Asadaya. Oh, hey, Ketrapala Shiva, Tumi Doyamoy. I'm praying to you. You're the guardian of the Dham, and you're Doyamoy. You're so very, very merciful. Krishna Bhakti Deha More. You please give me Krishna Bhakti. Hayasudoy. This is my prayer to you. The Vaishnavas don't disrespect the Devatas. A cultured person doesn't do that. If we disrespect them, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying here, our pride will increase and our humility will decrease. And what to speak of the devatas, a Vaishnava offers respect even to the mundane kings and politicians. A very nice example of this is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita in Madhya Lila chapter 19 in connection with Sanatana Goswami, who is a prime minister of the Nawab Hussein Shah. He had a very, very important position in Ramakeli in North Bengal. But he became disturbed. He thought, I can't do my service anymore because this Nawab Hussein Shah, he wants to go to Jagannath Puri to break the deity of Lord Jagannath and to kill the Vaishnavas. And Sanatana Goswami, his desire to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to do his bhajan had been growing and growing in his heart. So he sent in some note to work and said, I'm sorry, I can't come today, I'm sick. So after several days, and when Sanatana Goswami didn't show up, the Nawab Hussein Shah became curious what was going on. So he sent one of his men to go and find out. And that man went there and he checked things out and he came back and he told the Nawab Hussein Shah, he said, oh, he's with those Hare Krishnas. And they're all gathered together and they're just reading Srimad Bhagavatam every day. He's not sick at all. So Kaviraj Goswami describes them that the Nawab Hussein Shah, then he made a surprise visit to that assembly. And when the Nawab Hussein Shah arrived there, Kaviraj Goswami describes what happened.
Patsahade kiya sabe sambrame utila sambrame asana diya rajadeva saila.
As soon as that Nawab Hussein Shah entered that place, immediately they all stood up and respectfully greeted him. And then they offered him a respectful seat. What's going on? Prabhupada writes a very interesting purport. Although Nawab Hussein Shah was a Malecha Yavan, he was nonetheless the governor of the country. And the learned scholars and Sanatana Goswami offered him all the respect due a king or a governor. When a person occupies an exalted executive post, one should consider that he has acquired the grace of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tejas, Tejas, Vinamaham, I am the power of the powerful. The learned Brahmin scholars showed respect to Nawab Hussein Shah because he represented a fraction of Krishna's power. So they're cultured people. They're not proud. Oh, who the heck are you? Why should I give you respect? Don't you know I'm a devotee of Krishna? I'm a Vaishnav. I'm a very, very big person. Why should I give you any respect? No. Bhaktivinoda says, if we can't offer respect to senior persons like that, then our humility will decrease and his pride will come. So we should offer respect, Raja Maryada, to anyone who's a king, anyone's a leader. But more respect than Raj Maryada, Bhaktivinoda says, is Vidya Maryada. We should offer more respect to learned people. If some professor comes from Oxford University to visit the temple, he may not be a devotee, but he's a learned person. And a cultured devotee will respect him because of his education, because of his knowledge. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered so much respect to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was a Mayavadi. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to him and said, actually, I don't know anything. And Sarvabhauma wanted to instruct him in Vedanta Sutra. And Mahaprabhu said, oh, it's very kind of you. I'm just like a child. You please tell me. And he sat and very humbly listened. And he was quiet because Sarvabhauma was speaking nonsense. And he was speaking Shariraka Bhashya, the commentary of Shankaracharya. And Mahaprabhu didn't appreciate that. But he wasn't rude. He didn't chastise him. He didn't raise his hand and start quarreling with him and say, what are you saying? This voice is bogus. He was very, very respectful to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya until finally Sarvabhauma asked him, why are you so quiet? Don't you understand what I'm telling you? And then after he asked him, then Mahaprabhu spoke. And when he spoke like a bullet. And he quoted Shastra. And he established what was real Siddhanta. So this is Vidya Maryada. But higher than Vidya Maryada, we offer respect to Sadguna Maryada. Someone who has good qualities. I remember once in Orissa, I was invited to give a talk at some big conference. The governor of Orissa was there and some different people. And they sent a car to pick us up. And there was a professor who was also going to speak, and he was riding in the car with me. And this professor was such a personality. He had memorized the entire Bhagavad Gita. He knew hundreds, maybe thousands of verses from the Bhagavatam. He was so enamored, just loved the writings of Rupa Goswami and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he knew so many verses from Lalita Madhav and Vidagdha Madhav and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Very cultured, educated person. But he was very fond of cigarettes and fish also. And his conception of Lord Jagannath was that Lord Jagannath is actually Buddha. So he may be a very educated person. Even he's educated in our Vaishnava literature. But he doesn't have the Sadguna Maryada. So we offer more respect to a rickshawwala if he has very good qualities than we would to this educated person. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this Sadguna Maryada especially means that we're respecting the Brahmins, the sannyasis, and the Vaishnavas because of their qualities of knowledge, renunciation, and devotion. That's real Sadguna. But more than Sadguna Maryada, we offer to Varna Maryada, especially to the Brahmins. Dikshesti chet pranati bhishcha bhajantamisham. We should offer obeisances to anyone who has second initiation and is engaged in worshiping the deity. He's a Brahmin. They're Krishna's associates. By offering respect to that Brahmin, we're offering respect to Krishna. And even we offer respect to someone who's born in a Brahmin family. A very good example of this is Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama committed such a heinous act that has gone down throughout history, that in the middle of the night, he came into the camp of the Pandavas. And while they were sleeping, he killed the five small children of Draupadi in a merciless way. But then later, when Arjuna captured him, and Krishna himself was telling them that they should kill Ashwatthama, Draupadi said, no, don't do that. Draupadi's children were killed by Ashwatthama. But she said, we can't do that. He's a Brahma Bandhu. He's born in a Brahmin family. We have to give respect to the Brahmins. If we don't offer respect to the Brahmins, then how will society function properly? So this is Varna Maryada. And more than Varna Maryada, we offer respect to Ashram Maryada. The top of the ashram is the sannyasis. We give all respect to any sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada has written an interesting letter in this regard to Jayapataka Maharaj. In April 30th, 1970, Prabhupada wrote to him, regarding your questions, how to offer respect to sannyasis, every sannyasi you see, even a Mayavadi sannyasi, offer him your respects. Even a Mayavadi sannyasi. Prabhupada, you may know, also in a morning walk in Vrindavan once, they came across some Mayavadi sannyasis who were walking, and Prabhupada chastised the devotees for not offering obeisances to them. They're sannyasis. We should offer them respect. Prabhupada said, you should offer him respects. There will be no harm. As you have observed, we shall follow Lord Chaitanya's instruction that we give all due respects to others regarding their position. But there is no need of always associating with them. If there is a Vaishnav not of good character, we can give him the Vaishnav respect, but we cannot associate with him. So anyone who is a sannyasi, we should respect. Even a Mayavadi sannyasi. That's a cultured person. And people remember this. If they see the followers of Srila Prabhupada, that they're cultured, educated devotees who have the dignity to offer respect properly to politicians, to educated persons, to Brahmins, to the Devatas, they'll be so appreciative of our society. But more respect even than Ashram Maryada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is Bhakti Maryada. We offer the most respect to bhakti, to devotion. And by doing this, this is Daivi Vanashram. This is Vanashram, but going in the direction of divinity. We offer proper respect to the devotees. A nice example of this is given in the Brihan Naradiya Purana. There's a story there about Markandeya Rishi and Parasara Muni. Parasara, at this time, in the story, he was 7 years old. And Markandeya Rishi was seven kulpas old. He's a very, very senior person. There was some samaj, some sadhu samaj, some meeting of different sadhus. And they had appointed Markandeya Rishi as the leader, the mahant of that assembly, samaj. So they were discussing so many different topics about devotion, about Krishna. Nice subjects. And suddenly this little seven-year-old boy, he came to that assembly. And when Parasara entered into that assembly, then immediately Markandeya Rishi got down from his asana and offered obeisances to that seven-year-old boy. If you've ever offered obeisances to a seven-year-old boy, you'll know they become very nervous and frightened if you do like that. What are you offering respect to me for? So Parasara became like that. What are you doing? I'm just a little boy. This is very, very bad. You're offering respect to me, then I'll become destroyed. Would you like it if we offer respect to you? If everybody offered obeisances? That might be nice, huh? He would like that. He's honest. It's okay. So Markandeya Rishi offered him a respect, and Parasara said, this is not right. You can't do that. I'm just a little boy. Markandeya Rishi's activity in that assembly of learned and advanced personalities was very bold. You may do something in private, but when you do something in an assembly of learned persons, then that's a very strong statement. So Markandeya Rishi, in front of all those rishis there, he told them, Markandeya taviha sambraha madhya tapasvinam ayuso gananam naivam Vrakshum stachtrinu tatvataha yavanto hi kshanajata harismityaiva dehinam ikitraiva detainaiva ganam karyamamayusa. Markandeya Rishi, he smiled and he told those rishis, he said, you please tell me, how should age be calculated? You're saying that I'm the senior most person because I'm seven kulpas old. And someone may protest, why am I offering respect to this seven-year-old boy? But how should age really be calculated? Markandeya Rishi said, that age should actually be calculated according to how much time someone has spent thinking of Krishna. So although Parashara, he's younger than all of us here in this assembly, still he said he spent more time in his 7 years thinking about Krishna than all of us put together. Therefore, he is the senior most person in this assembly. And that's the same reason Srila Prabhupada, in the inside of the jacket to the Srimad Bhagavatam, we see a picture of Sukadeva Goswami speaking Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit. And he's seated on an elevated seat. And at his feet is who? His father, Vyasadeva. And sitting next to Vyasadeva is his father, Vyasadeva's guru, Narad Muni. They're offering more respect to 15-year-old Sukadeva Goswami because of his devotion. So this is proper culture, a society that understands how to offer respect to any human being, but more respect to a cultured person, more respect to someone who has some position, more respect to someone who has some education, more respect than that to someone who has good qualities, more respect than that to the Varnas, and especially the Brahmins, and more respect to that than to we offer it to the ashrams, and especially the sannyasis. But the most respect we offer to devotion. And that person may be a new bhakta, he may be a new person, but if that personality has devotion to Krishna, he's the senior most person, and we should offer respects to him. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. If I've said anything wrong, please forgive us. Vanchakopadarubhischa kripasindhu bhevacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. It's actually not proper for me to try to speak something in front of Smarahari Prabhu and the different senior Vaishnavas here. But sometimes, just like a father may have a child, and that father may be an Odissi dance guru. He teaches Odissi dance. And his little son is 6 months old. He can't even walk yet. But the father is telling the child, you dance. The child can't even walk, but he's trying to do some little thing. And the father gets some amusement. So if our clumsy attempt at speaking something brings some amusement to Smarahari Prabhu, the senior devotees, then we have some success. Prabhuji, do you want to add anything or any comments or questions?
Yours is the most eloquent, erudite talk that we've had for a very long time.
Hare Krishna.
It was very well researched, full of wonderful Shastric evidence. Very confidently delivered, and it's such a very, very nice, it's a great privilege to have you here.
Hare Krishna.
I have a small question. Does a Vaishnava require respect?
A Vaishnava is a very good subject. We were thinking to speak on this in a few days. We can touch on it something now, though. A Vaishnava doesn't require respect for himself. Still, we can mention something about it because maybe not everybody will be here later on either. And it's a very important subject. How do we behave if someone comes, especially a senior person, and they start glorifying us or start saying something about us? We should understand that respect doesn't belong to us. Sadhu Guru, the qualification of Sadhu Guru is that they don't keep respect for themselves. But they give that respect where it's due to Guru and Krishna, to their Guru. To Krishna. Sadhu, we've heard many times from our revered spiritual master that sadhu is like a pipe. And if he thinks that he's the source of the water, then sarvanas, everything is finished. But he understands that the reservoir is the source of the water, and I'm just carrying that thing. So a Vaishnava may accept respect. It's not that a Vaishnava rejects respect. Srila Prabhupada accepted an elevated seat. Srila Prabhupada accepted a Rolls-Royce car when he was in Australia. And when the media came and challenged him, you're supposed to be a sadhu, and sadhus are supposed to be renounced. How is it you're accepting this expensive car? Prabhupada told them what? Was he humble and said, yes, you're right, I'll just walk, or we'll go on a bicycle or something? No. Srila Prabhupada told him, this car is not good enough. He said, it should be gold-plated. Prabhupada was demanding respect, but it wasn't for himself. And he wasn't keeping it for himself. But he was transferring that respect. But that's a very, very difficult thing to do. We've seen in the history of our society, to be very frank, many people have tried to do that, but they weren't able to digest it. Who is it? What's the name of the rishi who drank the ocean? Who is it? Agastya Muni. Agastya Muni drank the ocean. His power of digestion was so strong, he could do that. But if you give us 3 or 4 glasses of water, that's our limit. We can't go to any more than that. So Sadhguru can digest that thing, and we can give him respect. He's worthy of respect, but we shouldn't desire any respect for ourselves. We should give it to everyone else. So amanina manadena, when someone offers us respect, we're not qualified to receive that. So we should divert that. We should just say very honestly, these words don't belong to us. Prabhuji's saying so many nice things. But very honestly, we're just repeating some things we've heard from our guru, and repeating some things we've gotten from Shastra. And the credit's not ours. The credit is to Shastra. The credit is to Srila Prabhupada. If we just go out and we repeat Srila Prabhupada's words, all of us in this Ariskan family, we're book distributors, we're preachers. And for those of you who have preached, and maybe somehow you've had the opportunity to be an instrument to make someone a devotee, you know what a wonderful thing it is. You go out and you tell someone, you're not your body. And just as as we change bodies from boyhood to youth to old age, we may repeat something we've heard from Srila Prabhupada. And that those words may have such potency on someone. We've seen it can change a person's life. They can become a devotee. So does that credit go to us? The credit goes to Srila Prabhupada. We're just repeating what Srila Prabhupada said. So Vaishnava should think like that. And there's some other things we can say in this regard. But is that okay, Prabhuji? Prabhu?
You mentioned different things that we have to consider when we want to offer obeisances or respect to others. And I wonder, in a case when you don't know the person, right, we always judge people by the external appearance in the beginning. How should you relate to people if, for example, different people come into the room? One is elderly, another one is dressed like a sadhu. Is there any guidance on that? How should we behave so we don't commit mistakes?
All that we can do, we can't perceive anything beyond our senses. And don't think that these external things are just shallow and meaningless. Rupa Goswami has compiled his very important book, Upadeshamrita, The Nectar of Instruction. And in there he describes how to offer respect to different Vaishnavas. How do we identify those Vaishnavas? He says that Krishneti Yashagaritvam Manasadriyeta. Anyone who's chanting Krishna Nam, offer him respect. Well, sometimes we may see a demon or a very sinful person chanting Krishna Nam. Rupa Goswami says you should offer him respect, Manasadriyeta, in our mind. Well, how can we do that? Because he's chanting Krishna Nam. It's a very exalted thing to chant Krishna Nam. Even if Shriya Heli Arva, whether they're doing it with faith or in a neglectful way, if they're chanting Krishna Nam, it's a very, very exalted thing. But more respect, diksheshti chet pranati bishchaba jantamisham, we offer to that devotee who Bhaktivinoda comments is a madhyam adhikari. And how do we understand who's that madhyam? Diksheshti chet. First of all, he has initiation. Well, Ravan also was second initiated. Chabajantam Isham, he's worshipping Isha, Krishna. Well, very frankly, we've seen sometimes over the years, even sometimes people come, they may be a child molester, and they may be a pujari, and they're worshipping the Lord. So how do you know? But Rupa Goswami says we should offer them obeisances because they have second initiation and because they're worshipping the deity. But Shushushaya, Bhajanam Vijnanam Ananyamanya, Nindari Shunya, Hidamipsita Sangalabhya. We should associate with and serve that person who we see is free from the propensity to criticize others. He's an uttam. He doesn't say that he has prem bhakti or that he sees Krishna. Or that you don't know. How can you tell if he has prem bhakti or not? He can trick you. There was one person who used to give lectures in Navadvip, one Goswami, and so many people were coming to hear from him. And he was very famous as a premi sadhu. he would sit and speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and just cry and cry and cry. Uh-huh. Then one day someone came before the lecture and they went in the back room and they saw there was this Goswami. Before the lecture, he had taken some chili peppers and was sticking them inside of his nose. If you do that, you'll also cry. So in that way, he was impressing people. So you can't tell. Even someone's crying, they're rolling on the ground, they're doing this or that. We can't tell. They're very exalted. So Rupa Goswami is only describing external things. So this is culture. If we see someone is chanting Krishna Nam, respect them. But more respect we give to someone who has second initiation. And more respect than that we give to someone who doesn't criticize anyone else. We don't know really what platform any of those persons are on. They may even be duplicitous cheaters. But we're offering them respect because these things we have to. This is Rupa Goswami's injunction. In Deho Natta Jata Jata, we should offer them respect according to their position. If we see a sadhu come into the room and an old man and a mother, we should offer respect to a mother. That's a very important thing. We'll speak something more about that this evening. Respect that should be given to ladies and to mothers. But more respect than that we'll offer to a sadhu. Uh-huh. And an elderly person may respect, but we should give more respect to the sadhu. Mm-hmm. So that's a cultured person who behaves like that. I've seen sometimes in India, devotees in other Vaishnava organizations, they appreciate it very, very much when they see ISKCON devotees who have culture. Sometimes we go to the ancient temple of Alarnath in Brahmagiri. And recently we went there a few months ago and they wouldn't give us entrance anymore into the compound there. And I called for Sudhakar Swar. He's one of the pandas there, a friend of ours. And he came out and he said, Babuji, what's going on? They wouldn't let us in the temple before, the Western devotees, but we could go in the compound. I said, now why we can't go in the compound? He said, oh, Prabhuji, I'm so very sorry. He said, I know you're okay and everything. He said, but they have a new rule now. He said, sometime back, some ISKCON devotees, they came from Germany and they came in the compound and they wanted to go inside the temple. And he said, and we very gently and respectfully told them, no, I'm sorry, that's against our rules. You can't go in, but you can see the deity from outside, but you can't go inside. And then those devotees became angry. And by force, they tried to push their way inside. And there was some fight. And then they had to call the police, and those devotees were taken away in handcuffs. So now you go to that place, and our Sudhakar Swar is our friend, he knows us something. But the other people there, they think very bad of the ISKCON devotees. That's not amanina manadena. We should behave according to this system. And we should preach to others, we should touch their heart by our own humility and by our own behavior. That's the best way to change someone. Is that okay? That's a long answer. Is there anything else?
Let's just ask people if they're respectful.
Generally, we say maryada. Maryada means respect or culture. Niti means ethics or behavior, like that. Mataji, speak loudly, please.
I was thinking, because we hear all the time more respectful, there is a gradation. And I'm thinking on a practical level, how this more respect gonna appear? What does it mean more respect if you have in the room entered to different types of people? How are you gonna show more respect to one other?
Well, for example, if a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava comes in the room, and a pregnant woman comes in the room, we should say something nice to that Mataji when she comes in and make her feel happy, make her feel pleased, and she's welcome. We should be respectful with the words. But when that sadhu comes in, we may wash his feet. We may offer him artik. But we might not do that. That lady might become very embarrassed. Okay? Anything else? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktabinda ki jai, Gop Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.